Tonight we read Acts chapter 10. It is a long scripture reading, but it is worth reading the whole very moving account of the baptism of the first Gentile who was brought into the church as a Gentile, not having to be a proselyte, not having to be circumcised, but received instead the sign of the covenant that is baptism, he and his household. And it's very clear that from this passage, baptism is a sign of spiritual things and of the work and the presence of the Spirit of Christ. Let's read Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And he talked with him, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is unlawful, an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.'" Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the 3rd day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Thus far we read the word of God. May God bless the reading of his word. I hope you can see how all of that history goes together and really should be read together. Tonight I call your attention to Lord's Days 26 and 27, questions 69 through 73. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that he will certainly wash us by his blood and spirit, as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Why then doth the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. And God willing, next Sunday morning, we will consider question 74 and its answer when we have the baptism of an infant. Remember your baptism. I don't know if you remember, but I do remember preaching a sermon here where I made that point from time to time. Well, tonight, I want to start at the outset saying this really could be the theme of the sermon on this Lord's Day, and this is the main application of the sermon. Remember your baptism. Now, there are some who literally can remember when they were baptized, those who were baptized as adults. They may remember the feeling of the water being sprinkled on their foreheads. They may remember the sermon that was preached, the form that was read. They may remember details about their baptism. That is, of course, not possible for all of those who were baptized as infants. We have to be told by our parents even what minister administered baptism on the morning that we had the water sprinkled on our foreheads. They have to tell us about the text that was preached. They have to tell us about whether there were other people who were baptized during that service along with us. We don't remember whether the water was cold or whether it was warm. We don't remember if we cried aloud when the water was applied. Our parents can tell us whether we went through that baptism rather quietly or rather loudly. Remember your baptism means this. Remember you were marked. You were marked. You have been baptized and marked with the water that signifies that you belong to Christ. Remember your baptism that you have been baptized, and remember your baptism and what that means continually, every day, all the time, for you and your life. It comes down to this. Remember, first of all, that baptism is a sign and a seal of the work of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus Christ has shed forth His Spirit upon the members of the church and upon you individually. And remembering the work of the Spirit, remember that you have been regenerated. You have the gift of the new birth. Remember that you have been washed away, washed from your sins, and that you are a member of Christ and His church. That's really the full title of the third point. That baptism is a sign and a seal of regeneration, of the washing away of sins, and of membership in Christ and His church. We notice, first of all, that baptism is a sign of the Holy Spirit and the work of regeneration. Baptism is a sign of something spiritual. Baptism is a visible sign of something that you cannot see, something that is invisible. And really, we could summarize it all down to the one point, that baptism is a sign of the work of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Pentecost that Jesus pours out on the church and all of the individual living members of the church to give salvation to His people. There, did you notice, are constant, many references to the Holy Spirit here in Lord's Days 26 and 27. Answer 69 speaks of being washed by His, that is, by Christ's blood and Spirit. Question 70 asks, what does it mean to be washed by Christ's blood and Spirit? And then the answer speaks of being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Question 71 speaks of a certain promise of Christ. Just as water washes away filth, so Jesus Christ promises by His blood and Spirit to wash away our sins. There's a promise that the Spirit, or that Christ speaks of in baptism of the Spirit. Question 72 emphasizes that it's not the water in the baptism font that washes away sin, but the blood and the Spirit of Christ. And then finally, you have question 73, which asks about calling baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. And the answer says, the sign is called that because the sign is pointing to the Spirit who regenerates and who washes away our sins. So baptism points us to the work of the Spirit, now specifically in regeneration. And now regeneration in that narrow sense, regeneration in the sense of you were dead and now you have been brought to life. Regeneration in the sense of you were part of the fallen human race. You were a member of the world that is under condemnation, and you have been translated by the Spirit of Christ in the kingdom of God's dear Son. You are now a member of Christ and His church. More on that in the third point, but the Spirit does this initial work of taking a dead sinner and working in that sinner the life of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a sign that God, by His Spirit, has taken hold of you and given you the life of Jesus Christ. next week, we will rejoice that we believe that's true even of our little children. Even though we can't see it, there's this visible sign that points to the Spirit working on their hearts. Have you heard of people who speak of born-again Christians? And when you hear that, you might think, well, that's kind of a redundancy, born-again Christians. That's the only kind of Christian that there is. But then we remember, don't we, that, and that was true in Sardis. It was true in that parable of the 10 virgins. Not everyone who is in the visible church here on earth is a true Christian. Meaning that not everyone in the church is a born-again Christian. Some are only talkers. Some are only outwardly confessing Christians. They say that they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't have the power to believe in Jesus Christ because they're yet dead in their sins. To be a Christian does mean that you have to confess faith in Jesus Christ, that you have to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But one can only truly confess faith in Jesus Christ, who is no longer dead in sin, and who has been raised to new life by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. To be a Christian means then that you have passed from life to death. To be a Christian means that your old man has been supplanted by a new man who has new life. Your old man has been dethroned. He's still there, but he's been set aside by the Spirit of Christ working in you so that you have this new man that you are in Christ Jesus. To be a Christian means that old things have passed away and you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. To be a Christian means, and baptism is pointing to this, yes, you were dead in Adam. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were alienated from God and an enemy of God. You were unable to know and believe in Jesus Christ. You were unable to serve Jesus Christ. You're unable to do anything but sin. But now baptism is a sign. You're not dead. You're alive. There's the answer, by the way. Are you totally depraved? You can say yes by nature. But if you are a Christian and you say, yes, I'm totally depraved, that means I'm totally dead, and that's it. Well, then you are to be rebuked. Like Sardis. Jesus doesn't praise those who are dead. He says, you're dead. And that's a judgment. To be a Christian means, right here, you've been born again. You've been regenerated. You've been given new life. You now have a life in which you are the friend of God. That's how He views you. And you now have the life in which you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I trust in Him with all my heart. And you now have the life that you can actually live for Jesus Christ. Now, remembering our baptism has some meaning. I hope you can see it. And part of the point, this is very basic, is when a baptism takes place, you don't think of that as just something that's happening to that person who's having the water administered to his or her forehead. When that baptism takes place, you must say to yourself, that's a sign and a seal to me that I have been regenerated by the Spirit of Christ, that I'm a new creature in Christ. And to remember something very simple, which does harmonize with what we heard this morning, to use the language of Romans 4, life here for me as a baptized, regenerated Christian is not about meat and drink. Or to use the parable of Jesus in Luke 12, life here is not about my body and earthly riches and earthly pleasures. You remember that farmer who had a bumper crop and he was thrilled. I have more grain than I can store in the barns that I have now, so I'm going to build bigger barns, store more grain, have more riches, and be able to say everything I need for life and for peace, for contentment, for satisfaction, I have it. A Christian can't say that. A Christian cannot say all I need for life and peace and happiness, contentment and all the rest is the things of this earth. Because baptism is a reminder to us that we have souls. Souls that have been renewed. Souls that have been given life with God. And so the Christian has to say, in light of Luke 12, what's important to me is not to have all this world's goods. What's important to me is to have riches towards God. Or to use Romans 4, what's important to me is righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. I have a spiritual life that is more important to me than my physical life. And I have spiritual needs, spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst that have to be satisfied in God, His grace, and His word. Remember your baptism. This was a very significant thing for Cornelius. And for Peter. You've been regenerated and brought into the family of God. You are not, first of all, a Jew, Peter. And you are not, first of all, a Roman. You're not, first of all, an American. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And you're not, first of all, a centurion or whatever other occupation you might have. You are a living servant of Christ. Remember that. In your home and when you go to work, when you go to school this week, remember your baptism and that you have the life of a born-again Christian. And by the Spirit, you also have the washing away of sins. The Catechism very beautifully explains this, really in four of the questions and answers that we read tonight, 69, 71, 72, and 73. The main sign in the sacrament of baptism is the water. And that water is to be looked at as not the kind of water that we drink and receive refreshment from, or the water that we use to water plants so that the plants receive what they need from that water. But the Catechism says here in the beginning of question 69, you're to think of external washing. How many of you washed your cars yesterday externally with water? Or the question has to do with the body. The Catechism points us to the way that the body is commonly washed. The filthiness of the body is commonly washed away with soap, shampoo, but water mainly. How many, after a day of playing outside, and perhaps not only clothing, but skin that is stained with dirt, grass, whatever else. How many of you children were told by your mothers last night, Sunday tomorrow you're going to take a bath or you're going to take a shower? And through the water, the filth of the body is washed away. Well, that is a sign that points us to the cross of Jesus Christ and the washing away of our sins by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That's what the Catechism immediately points us to. Question 69, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? You didn't see it. You didn't see it when Jesus was arrested. You didn't see it when he was nailed to the cross. You didn't see it when for 6 hours he hung there outside of the city of Jerusalem under the sun, the Judean sun, in the heat of the day. But you see a sign of it. And every time you see water sprinkled on an infant or an adult, Jesus Christ instituted that so that he could say to you and me, this is the reality. Just as you can wash away dirt with water, so I have washed away your sins through my blood, which I shed there on the cross. Already, when John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing, his baptism was pointing to Jesus Christ and his blood shed for the remission of sins. Mark 1 verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And now Peter in Acts chapter 2 says this is the significance of all New Testament baptism. When he addressed the people who were assembled in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and they asked him and the other disciples, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When a child is baptized, we have to remember this. What's the sign here for this child? But now tonight, remember what the sign is for you and for me. And do you see the meaning, first of all? The meaning, first of all, is to confess sin. When Saturday night comes, it can be very obvious to us that a bath or a shower is needed. And when a young child, and sometimes a young child might do this, objects and says, I'm not dirty. I don't need to be washed. We may laugh at the silliness of it as we can see how filthy that child is. Beloved, you can imagine the filthiest boy or girl and the reality that they need to be washed. And the truth is that we spiritually are far dirtier than they. And it is silly not in a funny way, but in a very foolish way, for any of us to deny that we have sin, to deny that we are filthy, and that we need to be cleansed. Let's confess our sins. But then remember your baptism when you're feeling the weight of your sin, the guilt of your sin, the shame of your sin, and you're starting to think, instead of this, I'm not filthy, I don't need to be cleansed. You're starting to think, I'm unworthy, I can't be cleansed. And that happens sometimes, doesn't it? I'm too dirty. I'm too shameful. I deserve God's punishment. I deserve his wrath. And then remember your baptism and Jesus saying, here's a sign to you. As surely as water washes away dirt, my blood has washed away your sins. Your past ones, your present ones, even the sins you're going to commit in the future, all paid for by that powerful, precious, shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's a sign. Look at the water and say to yourself, yes, I know. That water can't wash away my sin. I know my good works or my attempts at penance cannot wash away my sin. But do I believe the blood of Christ can? That's the question. And in baptism, Jesus is saying to you and me, my blood has washed away your sins. It's a sign and a seal, a guarantee. I tried to explain that to the catechism students. I think it was last week. We live in a day when we don't use seals to authenticate letters like what happened in days gone by. But we still can have an understanding of what a seal is, a guarantee. When we think of something like a logo, a stamp that will be on a product, and there in the catechism room, there were lifetime tables. And there was that stamp on the table that says lifetime, and that tells you this is a good quality table made by this company with a name and reputation. This is not a knockoff. This is not a cheap table. This is a lifetime table. And thinking about it, I think maybe the most common, though, seal that would get the point across to us today is a wedding band. And that a husband can do this too, but a wife is able to say, every time I look at this ring is not my husband's love. I'd never make that mistake and think that this sign, this seal, is what expresses my husband's love. He has to express his love to me. Nevertheless, every time that I see this ring, I remember the promise that he made to me, and it's a seal to me. He loves me. He's committed to me and to taking care of me. That is what happens every time baptism takes place. Jesus, again and again, through that sacrament, is not only pointing to the reality of his blood, but he's putting a seal on it. Don't doubt. Don't be uncertain. But know through this authentic ceremony that I have instituted, that I am present in by my Spirit, that I certainly wash away your sins. So next time you witness a baptism, say that to yourself. Ah, I remember I've been baptized, and that's a seal to me that Christ loves me and has washed away my sins in his blood. The Spirit gives us new life. The Spirit washes away our sins. The Spirit does all of this. How? By implanting us into Jesus Christ. Answer 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and the Spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. If I can jump ahead just for a moment to question and answer 74, this points to the fact that we are in Christ, in his covenant. Notice that. Our infants also to be baptized. Yes, for since they as well as the adult are included in the covenant, this is what it means to be in Christ. You're in that relationship of friendship as an infant and an adult. You are God's friend. But then notice this, and church of God. And that makes sense. If you are implanted into Christ, who is the head of the church, then you are part of Christ's body, which is his church. What is the significance for Cornelius and for his household and for you and me? I belong to Christ and his church. That old way of sin, that old way of the world, I may not go that way anymore. But now the new way of living a holy and blameless life, that's what it means now for me to belong to Christ and to belong to his church. Remember your baptism. You cannot continue in sin if you're in Christ, but more and more must die to it and more live a holy life. Beloved, it's really this simple. If you continue in sin, continue in a worldly lifestyle, you're showing you don't remember your baptism. You're showing that you don't understand what it would mean to have new life in Christ, to be a born-again Christian. You're showing that you don't understand what it means to have your sins washed away and to be a member of Christ. What do you want it to be tonight? Do you want to be a talker? A professing member of the church only? A hypocrite who says, this is who I am, but you're not going to see it in my life? Or do you want your life to show that you are a true, born-again, blood-bought member of Christ? Then to use the language of the text this morning, which I think fits tonight, walk worthy of your baptism. Remember, you have been baptized once for all. It's not going to be repeated, because once you're given new life, that happens only one time. And you really only need that one time to be washed in the blood of Christ to say that you're justified. Baptism is a sign that once for all you have been removed from the world and forgiven all your sins. But now live the rest of your life in a way that is fitting for that baptism, that shows you're no longer in the world. You are in Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the very simple sign and seal of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ through thy Spirit. We thank thee, too, for the very simple instruction that is given to us by our Heidelberg Catechism, that we, with our children, may know not just what the water means, which we can see, but we may know what the work of Christ is in regeneration, in the washing away of sins, and in implanting us into himself that we might be sanctified and live not in sin, but in holiness. Apply this to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.